the role that these private and veteran-led groups had to play in helping get people out, because the State Department was totally unprepared. I mean, the maximum number of consular officers that they had during the evacuation was 36, and often it was much lower.
I got to stop you there. And Jerry Dunleavy, on page 64, you write, don't say NEO or don't say NEO. State not only didn't know, they wouldn't even prepare to know what was going to happen to them. It was like willful disaster.
It was willful blindness. I mean, it just was. And, you know, it had tragic effects because, you know, we're stuck in a tiny airport with an entire country, including the entire city and entire country, controlled and surrounded by the Taliban. And, you know, this lack of planning meant that we had no great way to get, you know, to get Americans out. We had no way to get the tens of thousands of Afghan allies out. And, of course, you know, the end result of that, this lack of planning, this willful blindness, was that well over 1,000 Americans left behind and tens of thousands of Afghan allies left behind at the mercy of the Taliban. These are people that we made promises to, and these were promises that President Biden didn't keep, and that Secretary Blinken certainly didn't help us keep those either.
And so I want people to understand, James, you're an Army guy. You're a captain in the Army.
Yeah.
You're a Ranger. No one has resigned. No one has stepped down. No one has been disciplined for a fiasco that includes a U.S. military assessment on August 10th saying they had 90 days till Kabul fell. On August 12th, they said we got 30 to 60 days. It fell 11 days later. Did anyone get fired anywhere?
No. Certainly not at the highest levels, and I'm not aware of anyone at any level. And, you know, more, I would say more damningly, there was nobody that that put their rank on the table when throughout the entire evacuation their advice was ignored, and they had an idea of what was going to come down the pipeline because of it. Seth Krumrich, who is the chief of staff for Special Operations Command Central during the evacuation, the Green Beret colonel that now is retired, pointed out to us that, you know, he was so frustrated because he remembered thinking, hey, there's no fifth star. You know, what are you guys hanging around for? You're four-star general. Now is the time to, you know, to make a stand and to use the stars that you've earned. But nobody did. And certainly, you see Secretary Austin and Secretary Blinken still going on their daily business.
After the break, we're going to talk about the heroes of the veteran community and who they worked with, and the fact that a number of members of Congress helped them. And you mentioned Senator Cotton specifically, but like Mike Waltz and Senator Tillis got involved. There were a lot of people who helped them. But Jerry, this is Sophie's Choice again and again at the gate. And I didn't really understand it until I understood it, until I read your book and Father Coughlin and everyone else. It's horrific what happened to these Marines and soldiers.
The choices that they were being forced to make were impossible choices. They were put in an impossible, dangerous situation where they were making life and death decisions. And this is just something that never had to happen. I mean, they were having to make decisions on who gets in, who gets out, who is stuck with the Taliban. And it was because they were so limited in what they were able to do because of deeply unclear rules of engagement. And because of the fact that the Biden administration put these guys in a situation where we were having to rely on the Taliban for security, having to rely on the Taliban to let people through. And of course, the Taliban.
It's astonishing. We ought to have a special medal for the people who served in this particular period of time. Come back after the break on the iTunes Highly Concentrated Hue. I'm going to keep talking to them about the Digital Dunkirk, about their wonderful book, Kabul. But do the most you can, America. Go out and buy as many copies of Kabul as you can. Send them to your friends. Be smart about what happened 2 years ago, because very few Americans are. And I'll continue talking with Jerry Dunleavy and James Hassan on the podcast and play it again tomorrow morning. Stay tuned.
When you absolutely, positively need the truth, this is where you turn. This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hugh Hewitt here from my friends at BestHotGrill.com, who make hot, fast, Solaire infrared gas grills. Stop replacing your worn-out grill every couple of years. Buy a Solaire grill that's built to last. Try it before you buy with the Solaire demo rental program. Use coupon code HOTHUGH, that's all one word, for a discount on your demo. That's HOTHUGH, H-O-T-H-U-G-H, at checkout for your two-weekend trial. Learn more about these USA-made grills at BestHotGrill.com. That's BestHotGrill.com. Solaire demo rental program at BestHotGrill.com.
In theaters August 25th.
Ricky, you can't play baseball. God's going to give you a higher calling.
But I swing that bat. I ain't crippled no more.
Based on the inspirational true story.
You seen this? Major league tryouts.
You're going to paralyze him. He's my son.
Dennis Quaid.
They said he will never walk and he ran. How many miracles do you need?
God has a plan for you.
It's your time, Ricky!
The Hill, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters August 25th. Buy tickets now.
This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
It's easier than ever to get up to $5,000 at Dollar Loan Center. And oh yeah, the first week is on us to celebrate our 25th anniversary. No fees and no interest for a full week. It's a great way to try us out. Consider it a 7-day trial period. You can get up to $5,000 in about 30 minutes at don'tbebroke.com. Once approved, we have instant funding available to the debit card or account of your choice. Fast, easy, and free. For a week anyway. There's no charge to find out how much you can qualify for and free interest for a week on your loan. It doesn't get much better than that. Apply at don'tbebroke.com. Give us a call or find a Dollar Loan Center near you. And remember, at DLC, your first loan is free in 2023.
Free loan means if you pay off your loan monthly or less, the interest is free. You are still required to repay the principal amount. Licensed by the Nevada Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet minimum loan qualifications. Review loan qualifications. Visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Broadcasting live from the Dream Dental Studios on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason.
Former President Trump says he's set to document his claim of irregularities in the 2020 presidential election, and he says he'll do so at a major news conference Monday morning. Meanwhile, Georgia's Republican governor is firing back at Mr. Trump.
Following his indictment in Georgia on charges he schemed to reverse his 2020 election loss, Trump denounced the criminal charges and repeated his claim that election fraud took place in Georgia. GOP Governor Brian Kemp replied on social media, declaring the 2020 election in Georgia was not stolen. Kemp said the elections in his state are secure, accessible, and fair, and that no one with evidence of fraud has come forward under oath and proved anything in court. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Hawaii's governor warns a new storm could complicate search and recovery efforts in the aftermath of the deadly wildfires that devastated Maui. The death toll, 106, and the search goes on. North Korea claims U.S. soldier Travis King fled to the North because he was disillusioned with inequality in American society.
The report from state media arm KCNA is the first word on the North's detention of King. It adds the probe into King's illegal entry would continue. It's impossible to verify the authenticity of the comments attributed to King, as KCNA is a propaganda outlet and its content is carefully calibrated to reflect North Korea's official line. The U.S. and others have accused the North of using past detainees to wrest diplomatic concessions. The soldier's family says his mother's appealing to North Korea to treat her son humanely. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
King was in trouble with South Korean authorities, and he faced discipline by the U.S. Army when he sprinted across the DMZ into the hands of the North Koreans. On Wall Street, Dow futures down 26 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Brant along with Sherry here. And so you hear me doing these spots from MediShare? And Sherry actually helps me with them. I get people actually in person saying, okay, Brant, for real, do you recommend this? Like, yeah, for real, I actually do. I'm not just saying stuff. So family, friends ask me about it. I'm like, yes, you should look into this. It's really a great option for a lot of people.
That's what I tell people. My experience has been, MediShare has been fantastic for me.
Yeah.
It's so different from health insurance in a lot of great ways, honestly.
Yeah, and see, a lot of people who've switched tell me that. It's the same reaction. They're very, very happy with it, and it gives them peace of mind and saves them a lot of money.
I would tell people, look into it.
Yep. So really, for reals, if you want to talk to them, they're great to talk to. I think you'll be impressed and happy you looked into it. So you do the phone number. I'm actually tired of doing all the phone numbers.
Okay.
Call now.
844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. 844-41-BIBLE.
This is your KMZQ News Flash. Despite a wet winter that increased water levels, Lake Mead will enter 2024 under a federal water shortage ruling for a third straight year. But the cuts, they'll eased up just slightly. The Bureau of Reclamation's latest report shows Lake Mead ending this year with its water level more than 20 feet higher than where it began back in January. Now, the easing of the cuts means the Silver State will have 279,000 acre-feet of water available from the Colorado River next year. That's about 7% less than it normally gets and 4,000 acre-feet more, though, than it was allocated this past year. The Colorado River provides 90% of the water for southern Nevada. Las Vegas taxpayers could be on the hook for more than $200 million in the court battle involving the closed Badlands Golf Course. District Judge Anna Albertson recently ruled that the current property owner is entitled to the fair market value of 65 acres of that land. Judges in three other cases have ruled the city of Las Vegas illegally took the property by not allowing the land to be developed. The latest ruling could push total damages to $223 million, not including interest penalties as well as attorney fees. Councilwoman Victoria Seaman has been pushing the city to settle, calling the lawsuits a financial Armageddon for the city. When folks are looking to relocate, Las Vegas, the most searched place to move to. Real estate brokerage firm Redfin reports home buyers with the freedom to move are picking Las Vegas because they get more bang for their buck here in southern Nevada. Population experts over at UNLV say 115 people each and every day are moving to Clark County, with the county expected to grow by more than 42,000 people this year alone. The biggest population surge the county has seen since 2020, when nearly 51,000 people moved to Clark County. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com and click on that Listen Live button.
The IRS is hiring 87,000 new agents. It's not a matter of if, but when you or your small business will be audited. Hey, Mike Rasmussen here. You need to be prepared when the notice arrives. That's why you need my friends at RevRex. It's revenue reconciliation made easy. When the IRS audits you, they access third-party databases such as your credit cards, banks, and your point-of-sale system to find underreported income. In many cases, though, that income is not underreported. How do you prove it? RevRex. As a small business owner, you make a buck, you report that buck. Don't let the IRS or any tax agency estimate your bucks. RevRex does not replace your CPA. It's an online tool to assist you and your CPA before you hear from the IRS. Beat the IRS to the punch. Get your data. Get protected. Get RevRex. That's RevRex.com. RevRex.com.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located on 215 and South Rainbow, home of the...
Starting this Thursday, a Wednesday morning commute, off in pretty rough shape on the east side of the valley as you'd round the Charleston curve. You're doing so at a stop-and-go pace there. Accident, 95 northbound after Charleston. Combine that with all the construction barrels there, and you've got a really slow commute there. By the time you get a little bit closer to Eastern, though, you'll be back up to speed. Again, the only problem to report on the freeways is 95 northbound after Charleston. West Side injury accident on Sahara at Torrey Pines. Got a light pole that's knocked down there. 20% chance of afternoon thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high near 103. It's 88 degrees already. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Here is just some of the bold agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become the 47th President of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after I win the presidency because of you, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settled. I'll get it done in 24 hours. I know them both very well. I am the only candidate who can make this promise, and the promise is I will prevent World War III. Nobody else is going to be able to do it.
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three,
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Wednesday, a hump day, August the 16th, as we are moving closer and closer to a presidential election. We've got First in the West caucus that was just announced this week. There's just a lot going on. And a guy that we haven't had on in recent days, especially since we changed our time slot. And we are now, of course, we are now 6 to 9 a.m. every day, Monday through Friday. Joining us now, Michael McDonald, the chairman of the Nevada Republican Party. Michael, thanks for getting up with us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure, man. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I got to tell you, though, when I saw the press release earlier this week, just a couple of days ago, you announced the date for the First in the West caucus. And I'm saying, now, wait a minute. I thought we've got a primary. And it turns out we got a primary, too. Can you explain what is going on here and why we are having a First in the West caucus?
Yeah, definitely, buddy. And I appreciate it. I appreciate being on this morning. With me, I have our national committeeman, Jim DeGraff. He's calling you from Minden, Nevada. So that's how important you are, brother. We want to make sure that all your listeners who have been fantastic, they're great followers for you, great supporters of ours, that we get everything correct. So, you know, the most important thing right now is you've seen what happened at the legislature, what they did to Governor Lombardo. The one thing that everybody immensely has had vocally is saying they do not want the Democrats to pick our nominee. And I think the shenanigans that took place a couple of sessions ago when they switched the entire process in the middle of the night about mail-in ballots and how we're going to have all the, you know, the Republicans had no say-so in it. And the one thing bad about it is we have Republicans that are squishy that basically didn't do anything. They sat there and they sat their head down and didn't do anything. I can tell you the base and the grassroots want to do something. They do not like being told what to do. They don't like being led around by their nose. So they will fight. So this started coming up back then. They're tired of the process. You've been through it. I've done your show several times about the process. This is the most purest process you can have about picking a nominee. There's no shenanigans. Right off the bat, you know, you have to have voter ID. It's precinct-based voting, which means, you know, you'll get a notification in your precinct. It's election day, not election month. So by the end of that night, going in the next morning, we'll have results. It's the most transparent tabulation you can have. You can sit there and watch as the votes are being counted, not in the back room. And there's no dark money coming in. There's no sleight of hand, which really upsets the consultants. Consultants hate this because we're taking money out of their pocket. It's going back to the people. It's going back to the voter themselves and being engaged with the candidate. So if you're a candidate, you just can't hide behind your consultant and send out mailers. You actually have to start getting involved with the grassroots. And that's the purest form there is. That's what it's about. It's about taking it back to the people. There's nothing more secure than this.
So are we still having a presidential preference primary on the 6th of February?
So let me tell you about that. So here's what we have on this. And Jim can tailor into that as well. Because, Jim, the reason we sued the state, and I can tell you I've worked with Secretary Aguilar. He's been phenomenal. This guy's he's been amazing. He's transparent. Every time we call him, he answers the phone. He calls right back. It's refreshing. It's ironic. I get to talk to him, not some employee. And I can tell you, he understands where we're at. And, you know, he's on the other side. He's a Democrat. But in the same respect, we were told we can pick any way we want to do our nominee. And we said, we're going to do a caucus. He says, okay, fine. But we still have to move forward with the primary. I'm like, well, that's not going to work in the sense because that's how come we sued. That's how come that we sued to say you cannot have a primary and confuse the voters. They're going to spend millions of dollars on something that's not going to matter. Let me tell you how much it's not going to matter, Kev, because if you're a presidential candidate coming into Nevada and you participate in that primary on February 6th, you will not be allowed to participate in the caucus on February 8th. Our caucus is the only way we're picking a Republican nominee. And if you do that, you don't get any delegates. So if you're coming in, there's no way you're going to participate in the state-run primary, because that's not how the Republicans are going to recognize it. We're going to recognize it on the base of what we have, having a caucus on February 8th. So, you know, if you sign up and you're a candidate and you're not really serious, you may see someone trying to sign up for the primary. It's not going to matter. You get no delegates. You have to go through the state or the Republican caucus in order to get delegates for the convention.
Jim DeGraff and Reed. Hey, Jim. Hey, Jim, are you on the line?
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Just fine. Jim DeGraff and Reed is the national committeeman, one of the national committeemen for the state of Nevada. So, in other words, somebody that amasses a whole bunch of votes on February 6th, there are going to be no delegates that are going to be awarded for that. Am I right on that?
Yeah, that's correct. The way rules are set up through both the state party and the Republican National Committee are that delegates are awarded based on how the party chooses to do that. And that's an important distinction. The primary was something that was set up by a Democrat legislature and a Democrat governor to benefit a Democrat process. And what we said is, look, we've been doing the caucus successfully now for a long time in Nevada, and we don't need to have Democrats deciding who the Republican nominee is going to be. And so we are just going to continue with the process of the caucus as we've always had it, with the security and the transparency that the chairman mentioned. And the only delegates that will be awarded at the caucus.
Michael, let me ask you, why not just call off the primary?
That's what we're trying to do. That's how come the lawsuit ensued. That's how come we sued, is to say, look, you know, don't confuse the voters. And that's why we're in court over it, is because we've set the guidelines that you have to go through the caucus or you get no delegates. So it's very definitive between the RNC and the state of Nevada to our representatives that the only way to get it is this. Please do not run this primary. And that's what we're asking the state to do. That's how come we're suing, because it's going to confuse everybody. You know, the state is going to spend millions of dollars to run this primary, and it won't matter. It's going to confuse voters. It's going to do nothing for our presidential candidates. So they need to slow down, look at the process, and realize that this is the way we're going to select our nominee. You're not going to select our nominee for us, no more than they want us to select their nominee.
Let me ask you.
When we were fighting against the primary legislation, when they were trying to pass it, they indicated that it would be a minimum of $5 million to run this presidential primary, $5 million in taxpayer money. We actually fund the caucus via ballot access fees that are paid by the candidates so that the taxpayers are not on the hook. One of our main arguments in court is, why would you waste this amount of money of the taxpayers when there can be a self-sufficient caucus that's financed by the candidates? It just simply doesn't make any sense for them to proceed forward with their primary.
Michael, let me ask you, what are the candidates saying about this? I mean, they're kind of caught in the middle of this, are they not?
You know what? Our candidates really don't whine that much. I mean, we got a few, obviously, that do. But I can tell you that everybody we've spoken to, they have no problem with it. A lot of our candidates, especially the ones that are leading, are very grassroots-oriented. Clearly, I mean, Donald Trump, you know, you can't speak more grassroots about him. So his campaign was fine with it. I met with their campaign manager. They're fine with it. Like they said, look, just set it however it is. We're going to come in and win this thing. And they're very confident, very good about it. But more importantly, they understand what it means in Nevada. They've seen the turmoil we've been in. They've seen the disrespect that Joe Lombardo got as governor when the caucus wouldn't even, when the assembly wouldn't even hear his bills about voter ID, no mail-in ballots. They wouldn't even give it a hearing. That's never happened as far as that's disrespectful to the governor's office. So they understand it. They see what we're going through, and they don't have a problem with it. They're saying, you know what, you set the table, we'll come up, and we're gonna campaign as hard as we can to get delegates.
So in other words, on the 6th of February, we'll have a primary. On the 8th, we'll have a caucus. What is it you want the candidates to do about February 6th?
Look, I think we may have a dinner for all the candidates on February 6th. We may have a fundraiser hosted by one of our dear friends, Kevin Wall. I mean, it's open because we want the candidates to interact with the people here in Nevada. We want them to come here. We don't have a state fair. We don't have grounds like that. But more importantly, you have to get out and get your message into the people, into the neighborhoods, into people that are going to be selecting you as president, because right now America's hurting. There's no better way to do that and to be face-to-face with the people, not hiding behind a consultant, not sending mailers out, and that's only your form of communication. Face-to-face with the people, holding town halls, discussing your platform, discussing where you're going to go with this. Nothing gets better than that.
So, Jim, what are the candidates doing? Are they preparing for the caucus, or are they preparing for the primary? What are you hearing from the candidates?
Well, now that the caucus has been announced, I think the candidates are going to focus on that caucus process, organizing in the grassroots, organizing in the county, as much as they're doing in Iowa right now in advance of the Iowa caucus. The caucus is actually a good thing for any campaign because the path to victory is very straightforward. It's coming into the state and working face-to-face with the grassroots and in the counties throughout. And I think that they are relieved to know that that's the process. They know that that's where the delegates are going to be awarded. And that's the whole point of either a primary or a caucus, is to win delegates. And so if the caucus is where that happens, then the campaigns are ready to get their ground game underway and spend the time in Nevada connecting with the grassroots.
Michael, are the courts done with this issue, or is it still being litigated?
No, I think, you know, it's up to our legal team right now. Clearly, I think our legal team is going to fight this. They're going to appeal the decision. This is something that's based only for this election process, Kev, but also for going forward. The party themselves have to define the process because it's about representation of the party, whether it's Republican or Democrat. You can't have some outside source, some other party, dictating to the party and the people they represent how they're going to be doing something. It was overreaching by a Democrat legislature, by a Democrat governor, to make sure that we were held down on this process. And, you know, thanks to Governor Lombardo and the rest of the team, we pushed back. And the grassroots, you can't give any more credit than the people that made this happen was the grassroots to say, you know what, we're done with this. We're done being pushed around in the state of Nevada.
So as it stands now, we will have a primary, although you would like to rid ourselves of the primary. And is that still a possibility that the courts may shut down or may cancel the February 6th primary?
Well, as Jim pointed out, this is about fiscal responsibility. That nothing is going to happen on the 6th. Nothing. It won't matter whose name's on that ballot. You and I can put our names on the ballot. It's not going to matter, because that's not how you're going to select the presidential nominee. That's not how you're going to get delegates. So why waste upwards of over $5 million from what Jim was told in the court process? It's a minimum of $5 million to run this primary for the state. Don't do it. Take that money, put it into scholarship funds, put it into taking care of our senior citizens, put it into taking care of Nevadans, right? I mean, it has to stop. So, Kevin, it makes no sense, once this is laid out, that they would actually have a primary. They need to bring it back and say, look, we're not going to have a primary. We're not going to waste our money. But all they're doing right now, the Democrats are flexing to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. And we flexed back and said, we don't care if you do what you want to do. You're going to waste money. You're going to waste taxpayers' dollars. We're going to select our nominee through our process, and it's going to be pure. You know, it's going to be no mail-in ballots. You have to have voter ID. You have to show up. There's nothing better than this. You can show up, cast your vote, and or you can stay involved and stay in the process. And then you'll find out that night who won. You're not going to have to wait a month to find out who won the process. Do you understand if they have February 6th, you won't have your nominee picked because they're already done probably in South Carolina, but moving into Super Tuesday. You still won't know who the winner is in the state of Nevada. What a joke that is.
So in other words, and I just want to make sure, because it's very confusing for the voters. Should they go and vote in the primary?
No, okay. You're wasting your time.
Okay.
But you should
participate in the caucuses.
Yes, absolutely. The caucus is where your voice is going to be heard. Don't waste your time going in in February 6th. Don't even waste your time about it, because it's not going to matter at all if you're Republican.
Michael McDonald, Jim DeGraffenried, thanks so much for getting up with us, being a part of the show, and clarifying what the hell is going on with the caucus and the primary. But I think we've been given the marching orders from folks that know. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And Michael, we'll have you on again soon. Jim, same way here. You're always welcome on the program.
Yeah, I can't thank you enough, man. And you've been great. This is how we get our message out. God bless you. God bless your listeners, my man.
There you go.
Thanks for having us on. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Keep fighting that good fight.